Pray for his life, his family, his ministry right now as he comes. Come on, lift up your voice and pray.
We need your prayers for downtown St. Louis. So if you'll aim that way, Father, we ask that you would minister mightily, God, throughout this world, Lord. But I'm asking right now that you would touch, God, hearts and lives downtown St. Louis. Come on, let me borrow your prayer support for a moment. Oh, God, send revival, Lord, I pray, God. Stir hearts, God, towards righteousness. Oh, God, help us to be a light, Father. Help us to be a light in that city, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord, God Almighty. Praise the name of the Lord, everyone. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I thank you so much for the invite, letting me be here to... Torture you and interact with you and rub shoulders and hopefully iron sharpeneth iron and we leave here better. I think it's important that preachers are touched and changed by the Holy Ghost, the same as those who are hearing. And so I'm going to just kind of get into it, and when I do, Just stay with me, because I want God to do something in my mind, in my heart, in my life. I want him to make me better. And that's easy, because there's lots of room for that. So I am glad to have run into your pastor. And I've heard so many good reports. Just everybody says good stuff. And maybe that's just because I'm talking to the right people. Everybody loves you. They all say the same thing. Oh, great guy. Super smart. Handsome. Okay, I made one of those up. Thank you for letting me come. Thank you for the hospitality. And what a dynamic weekend. I mean, really, we're sandwiching a phenomenal time of worship and some word. And then in the middle of that, there's a time of celebrating this homegoing, which is beautiful and wonderful. And God, let me be ready when it's my time so those around me can celebrate. Amen. And then we'll come back tonight and we'll hit it hard and try and encourage your faith. So it's a dynamic weekend. So thank you for all of that. I understand that there are those in the listening audience somewhere out there who are Germans, and I consider Germany my second home. So your pastor asked me to greet them, and ich grüße die Geschwister aus Deutschland. Es ist schön, heute hier zu sein. Der Herr Jesus. Zu beten, loben, reisen mit meinen Geschwistern. Das ist wunderbar. Morgen, ich habe gearbeitet und gebetet. Und einfach gesagt, Jesus, wir brauchen alle dir. Und ich rufe Jesus, dass du diesen Tag segnest. Naja, ich will einfach meine Geschwister grüßen und aus Amerika sagen Hallo. Amen. 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 I figured I could preach in German, but it wouldn't do most of us any good. I'm tempted. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever happens in the Holy Ghost. And Mel, I don't know if he's still in the building or not, but Tramel, what a phenomenal young man. Wow. And God's timing is perfect. Pastor, that young man, tell him, if he's here, he can hear it for himself. I happen to work at one of the premier medical schools in the United States, and I would happily host him on our campus and introduce him to the top docs. Yeah. And if he's willing to get loose for a few weeks in the summertime and would be interested in a summer program designed for children, for young people just like him, I could probably make that happen. And we'll cover the costs. Good testimony. We need doctors, medical professionals. We need folks everywhere who are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you got to catch them when they're young. And y'all caught him when he's young. Amen. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So God bless you. So quick story. I was a youth pastor, and my habit was to steal away in the prayer room before service, and I would pray there. And it was those really thin walls. The church was buried in the deep woods of the country, just a country church, thin walls in that particular building. And I was praying, and I heard some young people walking in the hallway, and they heard me praying, and I overheard their conversation. One said, "You hear that? You hear that? Brother Blash is praying." And the other one said, "Yes, that means he's preaching tonight." And I thought, "Oh yeah." And the other one said, "I know, that means we'll get out early." Womp, 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 womp. So over time, I've gotten just a little long-winded, but not much. So I'll do my best to be respectful of your time. The book of Psalms 139, verse number 14. I've pulled every muscle in my body this morning, and that was just watching you worship. It's good to praise him. Amen. The Bible says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Somebody said amen. Amen. People come into the church and they leave going, "Oh, I feel better." And I won't take the time this morning to tell you about all of that, but I'm telling you, God has designed you in such a way. He thought you out and then designed you in such a way that your wild and crazy worship literally makes you feel better. No, it does. And the wilder you are, the better you feel. The neurotransmitter endorphins is 50 to 500 times more powerful than morphine. And it is produced in great measures as you do this. So you really do feel better. So if you don't feel good, and you're saying, "Well, how do I worship him if I don't feel good?" Just do what you can do. And before long, you'll find that you can do a little bit more. And you trust me for now, but I'm telling you, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you're designed to worship the Lord. And doing it helps you spiritually, physically, emotionally, you name it. It helps you in your relationships. Oh, man. So it's good that we worship the Lord. He knows exactly what you need, and he's going to give it to you. The book of Genesis, chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2. Pastor mentioned children. I have five of them. One wife, five kids. I like those ratios. Genesis 2 and 7, and then the book of Psalms 51, 1 through 11. A lot of reading, but if you'll just kind of hang with me for a minute. My oldest is 25. I have a 24-year-old, 19, 18, 14. And they are all still at home. And 90% of the time, they get along. 10% of the time, they don't. Those aren't bad odds either. All right, the book of Genesis, chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I have a visual in my head, and you might have one as well, of how that might look. But in mine, it's very simple. It's God forming, and it's a deep breath and blowing into, and what he blows into this dust, this dirt, creates something on the inside, and he becomes a living soul. Psalms 51 and verse number 1 through 11. Psalms 51, 1 through, actually I'll stop at 10. This is a prayer of repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Let those words echo into your spirit for a while. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My God in heaven. My sin is ever before me. Verse number 4. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make known wisdom, me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Somebody say that with me. Blot out all mine iniquities. One more time. Blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I can help you feel better. I can help you understand things. I can. But I cannot create in you a clean heart. I can help you feel like you've been refreshed and renewed. I can usher you into the presence of God. I can pray with you. I can fast with you. But I cannot create in you something that's new and fresh. Only God can. And today, God will. Lift your hands and pray with me. Would you, Father, we honor you. We thank God. We love you. God was so good to us. God, touch your people right now, oh God. God, supersede our thoughts and supersede, God, our habits and supersede, oh God, our troubles right now, oh God. Lord, move in a mighty way and intervene, God, and provoke us to a place, God, of transparency with you, oh Lord. Oh God, strip away all the coats, God, and all the outer layers, oh God, and let just who I am stand pure before you. And then touch and heal and help, bless, strengthen, encourage, and breathe, breathe, breathe on me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you lift your hands just one more time toward heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You can be seated. Thank you for praying. I want to spend the next 20 minutes preaching to you this thought, breath of God. Then I want to allow God another 25 or 30 minutes to do whatever he wants to do. So I need about an hour. Breath of God. I love people. I love to study people. I love watching people. I love watching and noticing how that we are connected and how the things of the spirit man relate so closely to the things of the natural man. The spirit man, like the natural man, needs to be nourished. That's what's happening right now. We need time with the presence of God, and it nourishes the natural or the spiritual man, and it helps the natural man. The natural man needs air to breathe. We like to breathe. It's kind of connected to living. If someone comes behind you and they put their hand over your nose and your mouth and you know they're teasing, and you just kind of play with them for a little bit, but if it goes too long and you can't breathe, we throw a fit. And if they won't take their hand off, we go crazy and we do whatever it takes because we must breathe. We need air. The spirit man is the same way. We've got to have those occasions often where we're in the presence of God and the spirit of God, like a wind, just blows over us and we're refreshed and we're renewed. And the spirit man needs that. And it's good if we don't have that, that we start wondering what's going on and maybe we throw a little Holy Ghost fit because we've got to have air. The natural man needs fellowship. It's important that we have each other. Today I watched and high fives and hugs and how you doing. And I think I got my neck hugged about 25 times. And man, I love everybody here. We need that. We need to be affirmed and we need to be loved and we need to know that people care and that they're interested in us. We need that. And the spirit man needs good fellowship. Man, it's good to come in contact with people who are like-minded. And I alluded to the scripture of iron, sharpening iron. It feels good. We need that kind of fellowship. It uplifts us and it helps us and we feel like we can go on and we can fight the fight that's before us. The natural man can become diseased and weak and feeble, and the spirit man also has those same tendencies. The difference is when the natural man has the sniffles or the flu or the cold or something else that's wrong, he'll lift his hand and say, "Pastor, I'm not feeling well. Would you please pray for me? I am physically sick." We don't always do that when we're spiritually sick, but the same thing is true. The spirit man sometimes becomes weak and anemic, and it needs to be lifted up, and it needs someone to come and lay hands on that natural man and speak to that spirit man words of encouragement, words of truth, and words of liberation. The spirit man then begins to breathe anew and flex and somehow becomes strong when we have that fellowship. The natural man suffers from time to time, and so does the spirit man. In the natural, if a person were to not be able to breathe, maybe they were choking on something and it was lodged in their throat and they couldn't breathe, and they would fall out. I need a helper. Somebody doesn't mind laying down in church. Okay, come on.
What's your name, brother?
Justin. Justin, you're my helper. You have been laid out. You're probably going to regret volunteering in about 30 seconds. If the natural man can't breathe and there's something going on and maybe we can clear the airwaves and we found that piece of steak that was in there and we plucked it out, but still he's not breathing, then somebody has to come and help that natural man and they're going to give him CPR. If you can see his face. Stay right there. he's healed. You're a few minutes ahead of me. I'll resurrect you in a minute. We get down and we blow into him. And we blow air and we fill his lungs and we compress and we do CPR and we do our best to keep air in the body because his brain and his vital organs, they need it. And so we artificially, we push air in and we blow in and we push air in, but we're hoping and praying that his heart does not stop, because if his heart stops and we're in trouble, and if his heart stops, we've got to get him to a hospital, and now he needs both air and he needs to get his heart jump started. And so he runs into the ER and the docs look and they notice that he's not breathing and his heart is stopped, and they get the jump starters and they put the jump starter cables on the brother, and they look back and they go clear, and they give him a shock, and his body, from the shock, rather he's breathing or not, whether his heart is beating in that moment or not, his body responds with a movement as all that power goes into him until his heart starts again. And that's in the natural. You see, the problem with the natural man is no matter how hard I try, all I can blow into him is air, not life. I can just kind of keep him from dying altogether, but I don't have everything inside of me to blow both air and the life, but God. I've never, ever, ever seen, in real life or anywhere, I've never seen someone have that defibrillator connected to them and they get shocked with it and they go, oh, and not move. Never seen it. It's not possible. It's too much power coming through the body. There's always a... It just is the way it is. It's powerful. So when the spirit man is down, and the spirit man is sick, and the spirit man cannot breathe, and the spirit man needs God, and the breath of God blows on the spirit man, somebody ought to go clear, because I've never seen a hungry soul shocked by the Holy Ghost who didn't also move. My God in heaven, just stay down there for a minute. We're going to resurrect you. We've got to have the Spirit of God in every single service. Well, what if I invite someone here and they're spiritually dead? Invite them. Well, you know, I can't help them. All I can do is blow my halitosis breath on them. But if you invite them and the Spirit of God moves in this house and moves upon them, it doesn't really matter how dead they are. And this is not like the ER. It doesn't really matter how long they've been spiritually dead. Because when God moves on them and he blows on them, he blows a life that will regenerate what was dead. Breathe on me, God. Breathe on me, God. Breathe on me, God. Some of us walked in today and there is a bit of death deposited into our spirit here and there, here and there. Sometimes it's just discouragement, and discouragement that sits too long just rots out like death. Sometimes it's bitterness, and it just sits there, and it begins to poison your whole system. It's death. Sometimes it's negative attitudes, and they just sit in your brain, and they dilute, and they pollute your brain, and they become death. It could be anything, but we come in, and there's a little bit of death, but then God blows on us. This is why we've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost from the platform. platform all the way to the back door. Everybody ought to be feeling a little bit of this and getting involved in this. Nobody can afford to not participate, because if you can touch God, the fact that you can touch God will generate something in you, not just in you, it'll generate something around you, and the breath of life will blow upon you and those around you, and they will be healed, revived, resurrected, touched, renewed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I was in a service one time in Tennessee, and folks were trying to hide from the presence of God. So you can fool the preachers. You can hide from the preachers. You can time your bathroom breaks at the right time. And this family was there, and there was a little girl in the middle. She was probably in her late teens, and she was really sensitive toward God. And on either side of her were her parents, and her parents were like watchdogs over her. Her mom was a medical doctor. Her dad was a psychiatrist. Everybody was intimidated to go back there and pray with them. And so they just kind of watched. But man, the service was hot. It was one of those services where I danced for a while, and I was too tired to dance. And so I tried to sit down, but my right leg just kept dancing. Nothing else would cooperate. It just kept dancing. And then I stopped that leg, and this one just started dancing. It was one of them moments. I'm telling you, when it's in you, you can't control it. If you can control it, it ain't God. If you can turn it up and turn it down at your own will, I don't know what you got, but it's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about comes in like a flood at times, and you cannot hold it down. Not like that. It's not like a crescendo on some great musical piece that's being coordinated on earth by man, and all the parts are coming together to tickle your ears in just the right way. It's not like that. It's powerful. It's deep. Penetrates every part of you. And she was hiding. God was dealing with her. The Spirit of God was moving. Folks were dancing. Falling out, rolling on the floor. I looked back there, and she was doing one of these numbers. Her eyes were itching. Tears were flowing. Mascara's coming down this way. Before long, the other eye's itching. See, people don't just want to cry in church. You know, they just want to pretend like their eyes are itching. And so she was rubbing both sides. You know what you're doing when your eyes start itching. Before long, she couldn't control it. Tears were flowing, just flowing. Her hands are up in the air, and she's in some other place. She's no longer just with here. She's connected somehow to something that's really powerful. And right there between her mama and between her daddy, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because you cannot hide from that wind of God. You cannot block it. You can't hold up your arms. You can't duck behind the furniture. It's not like that kind of a wind. It blows through everything. She could not control it any longer. And she threw her hands up, and she stood, and she began to tremble, and she began to run down to the altar. We prayed with her at the altar, and there was such rejoicing. We looked up, and her mama was running to the altar. And before her mama could get to the altar, mama was speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Her dad has stood up, and he began repenting from his seat. He started repenting, and he came to the altar, and he threw himself on the altar, hit his knees first, and said, oh God, please forgive me. And then he began speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. What I'm talking about will blow right past all your degrees. It'll blow right past all of your pedigree. It'll blow past all that stuff, and it'll go right to where you live. Some of y'all are feeling it right now, and you know what it's doing? It's the Spirit of God coming in, and it's combating the death that you brought with you. And if you don't get revived, that Spirit of God is going to touch you. And when it does, you're going to... Oh, come on, somebody lift your voice with me. Why don't we stand up for a moment? Come on, stand to your feet for a moment. Find your favorite way of worshiping him and worship him for a moment. Come on, it might not be for you. It might be for the person standing next to you. Wind of God, blow on me. If he did it in the book of Genesis, and if he did it in the book of Acts, I am convinced he wants to do it right here, right now. I ask God, you can be seated. I ask God to help me understand. Please don't misunderstand the statement, but I am not interested in flash fires in my life. I ask God, how do we keep a constant burning fire of revival? How do we keep, I don't want just a little puff of the breath of God. I want a constant blowing of the breath of God on us. I believe we can have it, and moreover, our world needs it. I want it. I want it in our youth group. I want it with our young married. God, I think we will fight a little less carnality if we can keep a fresh breath of God blowing upon our young people, upon our young marriages, upon our saints of God. I think if we had a anybody else think that? And God dealt with me about three areas. Three areas. Number one, I'm be quick, trust me. You don't know it, but I'm almost done. Kind of. God said to me, Daniel, there needs to be an understanding of the nature of sin and the destruction that lives inside of you when you harbor it. Because you cannot embrace it and hold on to it without developing a lifestyle around you that supports it. Oh man, I lost about two-thirds of the crowd. I ask God, how do I keep it? I know how to get it, but how do I keep it? I want to keep it in my family because it's important that I be saved and that my children be saved and that my children be saved and that my great-grandbabies be saved. So I need to know, how do I keep it? He said, you got to understand that pet sins are not pets at all. They bring in death, and the Holy Ghost is life. And if you began to nurture those pet sins, a byproduct of making space for them in your life is that you don't make space for God in your life. And it's not that the enemy, hear this, it's not that the enemy is choking the life out of the church. It's that the church is putting her hands on the mouth of God. The devil doesn't have enough power to choke it out. So what we're doing is we're loosing God to be God in our midst. And we're saying, blow on us. Blow full force on me, Lord. That means less pride and more godly sorrow. That means giving up the old ways, even if they work, because they won't take care of you where you need to be in God. And so I prayed. The first thing God told me when he was telling me this, you can be seated if you want to. I was struggling with a man. He was our neighbor upstairs. I called him Grandpa. He was maybe 20 years older than me. Or at least he looked it. It's true. And he was a big guy. He was just kind of guy that you would stereotype that he would be, you know, aggressive and maybe, you know, threatening. And He was just big and intimidating, right? I'm calling him big, right? And he was mean and didn't like us. I don't know why. We did nothing but good. But he didn't like us. And I said, God, how do I win Grandpa? And so I tried to testify and witness to him. Didn't work. And one day we came to church, Pastor, and we had no electricity downstairs. But Grandpa lived upstairs. It was just a little storefront. And I thought, well, I've got an extension cord. Surely he'll let us plug in. And just for an hour or two, and then we can have church, because it's good if we have church, because that spirit's got to be going up, and it's got to be good for him. He's got to know that. So I went to his door, and I knocked, and I put on my best preacher smile. This is kind of it. And I said, hey, neighbor, we've got a small dilemma, and I think you can help us with it. We have no power, and I noticed by looking upstairs that you do, and I'm wondering if we could run this extension cord just to your place for a little while, plug it in. We're just going to run a piano, and that's pretty much it, and just a couple of hours. And what do you think? I mean, would you be willing to do that for us? I can't believe it. And he said something else that I couldn't understand, and slammed the door. This guy spoke languages that I couldn't understand, and I speak like 4 plus Ebonics, so 5. And I thought, that's not right. That she shut us down. So one night we were praying. I got the oil and I was praying. And I was praying for people on a Friday night. And we take the oil and we went outside and did crazy things. We took the oil and we put the oil on the sidewalk and we just claimed it. We said, God, anybody that walks in over this little threshold and that threshold, they're ours. Honestly, I'm not even sure if I had scripture for it, but we just did it. And I was out there doing that, and I looked over and I remembered something. One day I was witnessing the Grandpa. He was out there and he was working on his truck. He was under the hood. His hands were all greasy, and it must have been lunchtime because he had fried rice from some Chinese restaurant, and he had it on like that round thing underneath the hood. You know, that round thing, right? Psychologist, not a mechanic. It's a round thing. I know everything in your round thing, but I don't know nothing about the other round thing. And I thought, that is so disgusting. He was eating with nasty hands. And then I watched him, and this is what he did. He went, and I thought, ugh. And I was out there anointing the sidewalks. It's what you do until you get people. And I was anointing the sidewalks, and I looked over, and I had that oil in my hand, and God gave me an understanding. He said, go anoint Grandpa's, I think it was God, he said, go anoint Grandpa's doorknob. And I thought, brilliant, Lord. And so I went, and I poured the rest of it on his doorknob, and I just waited. And sure enough, Grandpa came home, grabbed his doorknob, and went, and I thought, yes, in Jesus' name. We're going to get you anointed one way or the other. Now, half of y'all that shook my hand already, now you know what that oily substance was. See, I'd anointed half of y'all already. I'm teasing. So we got him anointed in Jesus' name on a Friday. The following Sunday, we're having a shouting good service. The door swings open, and it's right there on the sidewalk. And in comes Grandpa in a suit and shaven. And I looked over at him. I was so shocked. I said, what are you doing here? That's how we greet you in the city. He said, I haven't had a good weekend. What happened? He said, it started on Friday. But he goes, last night, I couldn't sleep. I had a nightmare. And in the nightmare, God spoke to me and said, you need to get yourself downstairs and listen to that prayer. preacher. And I thought, Grandpa, what happened was in the middle of the night, the breath of God came in on you and touched you with those deep, oh my God, and you could not help yourself. You had to move. I'm telling you, he'll breathe on you. He'll breathe on your neighbors. He'll breathe on your relatives. He'll breathe on those that walked away and said they'll never come back. He'll breathe life on them. Come on, somebody, lift your voice for a moment and say hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God said, you've got to understand there's destruction in sin. And though you may not feel it early on, it's there. It is death lurking. And the answer is repentance. When you repent of those sins, my God, it opens up an avenue between you and God. And God can do a lot of things for you, but he's not going to repent for you. But if you begin to repent of those things that you know weigh you down and cause you to miss and cause you to always be hateful and mean and distant and not connect, if you know what that little veil is between you and God, then you owe it to yourself to repent of that thing and use every bit of your earthly energy to fight it off of you. The same way you would if somebody was holding their mouth, their hand to your mouth. You fight for your life. The second thing God said to me is there must be a willing to abandon the things of death and accept the experiences of life. We've got to seek God and want him more than our next breath. My question was not, how do we get it, God? My question was, how do we keep it? More than everything else, more than all your aspirations, more than all that stuff that you want God for yourself. My wife is an incredible lady. She is the better half. In every aspect, really, she is. Oh, you can understand, huh? All right. I don't know what that laugh meant, but I just guessed. And when I met her, she was in a moment of sloppy, ugly worship. I mean, she stayed decent. But it was sloppy, ugly worship. I hope this isn't being recorded. Great. And broadcast. Wunderbar. She'll go back to speaking in German. Wait, that won't work. She's German. I won't get too descriptive, but let me just tell you, that is not how you catch a date. But I remember thinking, this woman is oblivious to the fact that I'm even here. She doesn't care one bit what I might think, how I might think about her. She doesn't care one bit if this is going to make her more appealing or more attractive to me. She doesn't really care who's here. She is so into God that nothing else matters. She wants him more than she wants to meet me. And I made up my mind, I've got to meet this lady. And then I thought, I better marry her. What I'm trying to say you're only going to get so far having cute church. You just won't keep your tie straight in every single service. Your hair won't always look the way it did when you came in here. There's got to be a desperation for the things of God more than you want anything else. You've got to want God. Somebody give him a few seconds of crazy kind of worship. If you've got strong legs, you can stay standing because I'm close. But they need to be strong. So I'm not that close. 10 minutes. You got to be willing to die out to who you are. All of you. Lady came into our church. She scared me. This character, this boxer is probably outdating. I mean, some of y'all will know, some of you won't. Leon Spinks, does that ring a bell? Leon Spinks was the ugliest boxer to ever box. When you ask people in the boxing community about his record, they go, I don't know, but he was ugly. Sometimes I border on carnal. I'm trying not to. It's true. He was just not the most attractive boxer. This lady came to our church. She was built like him. From here to here, too. I'm not joking. I measured about what I thought would be a 32-inch arm. I stayed about 32 inches away. She looked like she could take me out. And I thought, Leon Spinks, and it scared me because he was a scary character in my childhood, and I was afraid. And she had on those dark glasses like Ray Charles. So she's a mixture, a female version of Ray Charles and Leon Spinks. And I stayed away. We had a preacher come in and preach. This guy was like a soul magnet. People were just drawn to him, and he'd pray them through in a heartbeat, pray them through, and he was there helping us, baby church, and we're trying to see people pray through. And he preached a powerful message, convicting message. I mean, just, and he made the altar call, and she didn't budge. She sat there like this in her chair, arms crossed, looking straight forward, couldn't see her eyes, and that bothered me, and just wouldn't move. And so I thought, you know, God, this is my house. And I got to go to this lady. I've got to do it. And so I took the back approach to her chair. And I'm not messing. I went all the way around the sanctuary. I came up about this. And I said, now, sister, see, she wasn't going to get me from back there. I knew. I said, I'm so glad you're here. And I can feel God in this place. And you're not here by accident. You're really not. And I want to invite you. It's our custom to invite our guests to time of prayer at the altar. And I want to invite you to come pray with me and just, you know, just want to seek after God. And I was just making my pitch and my plea and trying to get her to move. And I kind of even extended my arm out to Leona. and she wouldn't move. She wouldn't move. And I thought, if she was anybody else, I might even give her a little nudge, but I wasn't touching her. And so I was just like, wow, okay, Lord, I tried. And because I'm in St. Louis and we have a Bible college there, we had Bible school students, and one of the students went up, just kind of witless guy, you know, because anybody else wouldn't have approached her like this. He just kind of went up there and got into it and said, would you come to the altar with me? And she did. And I thought, So he got her to the altar, and I thought, that's my turf. Now she's at the altar, it's all on, and so she's at the altar, and she's at the altar, arms are still crossed, and I'm like, I'm so glad you decided to come, and that was a good decision. Those first few steps are difficult, but once you're up here, God's meeting you here, and whatever needs you have, God's going to meet them. I'm trying to get her, and she's just not moving. And I'm like, all right, okay, lady, please say something. Nothing. I walk away. She's there at the altar, black glasses on, arms crossed, just staring straight that way. Bible school student walks up and begins to pray with her. And she does this. This is all she does. She says, that was it. She that was it. That was it. Nothing else from there. Arms crossed. Then she did this. Her face changed a little bit. Arms still crossed. And then she went down again, and she said, and then she went down again, and she said, no. And she went down again and she said, Gee-oh! And I recognized what was about to happen. I didn't see it before. I just didn't see it. I didn't see the pain. I didn't see the suffering. I didn't see the heartache. I didn't see the walls that were against God. I didn't see any of it. But God saw it, and he was blowing on her, gently blowing on her, and he was knocking them down. And as he was doing, she couldn't fight. There's something on the inside of man that if you get in the breath of God, you won't be able to fight it. And she had her arms crossed, and everything in her physical body was trying to fight it. But that spirit man on the inside that was dead was resurrecting. And that same God that breathed into the nostrils of dust was breathing into this woman. I looked around the people that were standing around her, and I mouthed the word clear. They didn't catch it. It's too bad, because she said, Jesus. And then she began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet for a moment. When you get up, don't go too far. You don't want to just sit still anymore. Look at him. He can't help it. I've been blowing wind, and we have been blowing. The Holy Ghost has been blowing into this building. We've been preaching, and faith has been moving. And this poor guy, while y'all was able to say amen and all that stuff, was sitting there. But I'm telling you, you cannot just sit there. Something happens on the inside, and it comes out on the outside. And when the Spirit of God hits you, you want to move. Now you can move. Hallelujah. Thank you. You can be seated. Let me finish up. You can stay seated. Let me finish up. I'm almost done. Really? No, you can. I said stay seated. That meant stay standing. People in our church get that. Really? I'm like, give more, and they don't. They just do whatever the opposite of what I just said. There's no stopping this spirit. There's no stopping it. If you will let yourself get into the presence of God, it will revive every part of who you are. I want to conclude with what competes for one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life. Her name was Brooke and is... out there somewhere, and she was the most broken person I've ever encountered in my life, and I encountered her about 20 years ago. I worked for an agency, and they assigned me the worst of the worst cases, and she was 12 when our lives intersected. Her mom was a crackhead, and Brooke raised her little brother since she was like 8. She was basically the mom in the house. And when she was older, 12, 13, 14, her mom exchanged her for drugs and money. And that went on for a year or so before we learned of it. And she was brought into custody and then assigned to me. They put us in a room together. The room was about a 12 by 12 room with a large table in the middle. It was a conference room for staffing. And I opened the door, and she scurried to the farthest part of the room. And everything about her said, if you come close to me, I will scratch your eyes out. She was the most broken person I've ever experienced. Ever encountered, in my life. And I sat there for 6 hours, inching closer, 6 hours, until we could talk. And finally, I just randomly picked a foster parent that she could live with. Just picked one, the next on my list. And we sent her to the foster home. About a week and a half later, the foster parent called me and she said, "Hey, Daniel, I'm just curious. You think it'd be okay if I took Brooke to church with me?" And I said, "Well, Brooke's kind of hostile. You need to keep her close. And what kind of church is it?" She goes, "Oh, I'm apostolic." "You are? I didn't know that." "Me too." I said, "Watch her. Don't take your eyes off her. Really be careful around men." And she did. She took her, and she said she sat on the back row. And 5 altar calls into the altar service, she was not moving. She was not moving. Finally, I don't know what happened. No one did it. No person did it. But she finally came. In total defiance, she came. And she stood before God. And if I know her, she was giving him a piece of her mind. You know, it's an absolute insult to preach about a loving, kind, gentle God when you're her. So she sat through an absolute hour and a half of being insulted. And my guess is she came to tell this God, "If you're all that, then where were you?" And so they said she prayed with her fists clenched like this. And those bitter, angry tears, if you've ever cried them, you know what I'm talking about. They're the ones that you cry when somebody close to you has betrayed you and hurt you on purpose. They're the ones you cry when you prayed to God and you knew he was going to help, but somehow that time he chose to do something else and you don't understand it. You ever prayed those and cried those tears, you know what I'm talking about. Imagine doing that at age 13. And she did that. And her foster mother said, "Daniel, somewhere in that altar service, she goes, "I saw those tears change. And her hands went up." You got to understand, it would take years, multiple years, decades of therapy to get her to where she was in a moment. Hands raised, crying out to God like a little girl would cry to her dad, and whatever he said and whatever he did, it did not fix what was broken. He recreated it. He created in her a heart she didn't have before. It wasn't just a patch job. When he blew on her on Monday, she came into my office, blew past security, blew past the secretary. I heard them yelling, and she's going, "Daniel." She finds me, and she runs to me, and she gives me a full embrace, frontal hug, and she squeezes me, and she's weeping, and she said, "I got the Holy Ghost." And that stony heart that was filled with death, that hated men, hugged me. And I looked in her eyes and I saw there was a sister there. And I thought to myself, God has created something that wasn't there. It wasn't there. And that God is here today to create in you. Just lift your hands for a second or two. Just for a second, talk to him, somebody. Father, I feel your gentle blow. For some, God, the walls are so high, it's going to have to be more like a hurricane. But you can do that too. And whereas you were a gentle blow into the nostrils of Adam, you came in like a rushing mighty wind into the New Testament, oh God. You can do all of that. Come on, if you feel the need to call on God right now, if you feel the need to walk towards life, if you feel the need to lay down the weights and the sins that do so easily beset you, and if you trust that there's a God who's able to blow on that dead situation and bring life to it, then I want to invite you to come. If you've been ducking and hiding from God this entire service, let me tell you, you're wasting your time. He already knows right where you are. Why don't you just give him what he wants? Surrender, yield to him. Let him touch the broken places. If you feel so burned that you think there's no hope for you, then ask him to create a new heart. Create a new heart. God, renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, Father. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew in me a right spirit. Come on, somebody, those are beautiful words. I'm telling you, your walls.